Timothy, chapter number 3 this evening. And we're going to take a few minutes tonight, and I really want to read the entire chapter, but I'm not going to read the entire chapter just for time's sake. And there is so much in this chapter. I'm going to start off reading what we are so familiar with, and then bring us some thoughts tonight, challenge, and then tell you where we're going. But the Bible says in chapter 3, first, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, somebody tell me when the last days are. Are they on the way? Okay. Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, listen, by His Son. The last days have been with us for how long? 2,000 years. Amen. That means Jesus could have come back at any point in time, but He just hadn't come yet. Amen. You know when He's coming back? Whenever He's ready. Amen. How do you know He's coming back? Said He was. So, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, as you and I read this text, realize that it has been bad for many years, even in the so-called good old days. But the Bible's going to tell us just a few verses on down that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, not only deceiving, but being deceived. So this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of who? Their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, what does the Bible say? Turn away. And he speaks about other folks who, the sort of they which creep in houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He speaks about Jannes and Jambres, the false prophets who withstood Moses. And he says they'll proceed no further in verse number 9. Verse 10 says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine," Paul speaking to Timothy, "manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." But he also says persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. We're going to stop right there, and we'll pray tonight. Father, I pray that you take these scriptures, Lord. We've already heard some scripture quoted. We've already heard the good testimonies of your people who are grateful for the grace of God in their lives. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, my prayer is that you would open up our hearts, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that as we are in this place, that the Spirit of God would take His Word, your Word, and would do the work in our hearts that needs to be done. Lord, so many hearts, so many different needs tonight. I don't know them all, but Lord, I know that you have help for everyone in this place tonight. So Lord, I'm asking that you'd give it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, I don't see a very bright picture of the future. But as one person said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. But if you look back at the way the world has gone the last 2,000 years, if you look at Western civilization, you see a history of mankind, though mankind has learned a lot, though mankind has done a great deal of intellectual achievement and technological advancement, down deep in our hearts, listen to me, we are still sinners. We are still sons of Adam. And though mankind has elevated himself into the regions of great knowledge, what has mankind actually done? We haven't evolved upward. We've actually, if you will, devolved downward. Have you ever thought that you would see a day when a mother would put her own children into a sedan and push it off into a pond, get onto national news and cry her eyes out asking people to help find her babies? What in the world is going on? What we are seeing, of course, that was 25 years ago. How much worse has it been since then? What we find out is that men have always been selfish, but specifically, the selfishness of mankind is coming out. And I don't know about you, but when you look on television and you see what is going on around us, you cannot tell me that people are not selfish. Very selfish. It's all about me. It's all about my advancement, my problems. Men are covetous, boasters, proud. We could read that list and we could preach for a good 10 minutes probably on each one of those. And still not really scratch the surface. We could read through 1 Timothy 3, the first 3-4 verses, 5 verses, and you could probably think of situations that you've seen in your own life over the past few years, the past few days even, that would fit right in here as examples. And I'm going to tell you, the last days, having gone on the last 2,000 years, are, in all honesty, just a sad state of affairs in the human family. But having said that, what has made the difference in the life of Western civilization? What's made the difference? Why in the world has society actually done pretty well in times in the last days where men exhibit these traits? There was an atheist historian from England who some time back said this, that what the world is nowhere near as bad as it could be. And he reminded us that if you were to go back to ancient Sparta, those of you who know your history, that when a baby was born in Sparta that was deformed or weak, had some type of abnormality, that baby was left out in the elements to die. Women were treated as little more than baby factories to produce warriors for the city-state of Sparta. Basically, that's all you did. And yeah, you see all the glorious things where the woman would tell her husband, either come back with your shield or on it, because we are Spartan women and we really love Sparta. You've seen all that historical stuff. But understand this, that really you come right down to it, the Western world, and even if you were to go across the mountains and across the steppes into China and into Asia, you'd see a world that was just as violent. You'd see a world that was just as steeped in idolatry. You'd go down into Indonesia and into the areas down around Papua New Guinea, and you would see the cannibals down there. So the world has always been a violent place. What in the world has made the difference in such a violent world? This atheist professor reminded the world that the reason the world is so much different is because of the spread of Christianity. Can I say amen, hallelujah, oh yes. The reason that our world is so far advanced is because the gospel has been preached. Where else did people hear that they were to love their neighbors as themselves? Where is it that men were told, thou shalt not kill? Where is it that men preach that men ought to turn the other cheek on their enemies and not be vindictive and do things personally? Yeah, you go about the law and take things according to the law that need to be taken care of. But Christianity made a completely and totally different change on society. And everywhere the gospel has gone, listen to me, literacy has increased. People begin to read their Bible. Amen. The standard of living goes up because people not only read, they realize that God has placed them here for a purpose. They put their lives to work for the glory of God. Let me tell you something. You don't go to India and find Hindu hospitals. You don't go to Asia and find Buddhist hospitals. But everywhere there are hospitals that take care of the sick and needy. If it is not Christians who have put those hospitals there, it is people who have followed Judeo-Christian values that say that mankind is made in the image of God. You are not an animal. Listen to me. You're not an animal. Amen. What happens to a dog? Listen. What happens to a dog when he dies? He goes back to this earth. You bury him, he goes back to the earth. Whenever you go to the slaughterhouse, drop off and drop off old Bessie. What happens to old Bessie? Well, old Bessie, her spirit leaves her body, and then her meat goes into your freezer. Later on, you grill it in your stomach, praise God. Amen. Somebody said one time, they said, man, over there in India, they worship them cows. I'll show you how to worship a cow. Amen. Medium rare, knife and fork, praise God. That's exactly right. We ain't going to be worshiping the cow. We're going to be praying to the Lord who made the cow and thank Him. Every creature of God is good and nothing's to be refused. It's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified, amen, by the word of God and prayer. Amen. That's right. But you look at everywhere Christianity has gone, it has made a difference in mankind, telling man that he is not an animal. When that animal dies, he goes back to this earth. But when you die, you go to one of two places. You go either to heaven or you go to hell. One of the reasons we're seeing a huge, chaotic world outside in our nation and in other places is because people have been taught that they are not made in the image of God. There is no God. You have evolved from a common ancestor with the apes. Now, I know some of them act like it. Hey, man, some of them act like it. That's exactly right. But that does not mean that that's where they came from. I don't care whether you're red, yellow, black, white. It makes no difference. Whatever shade you might be, you have been made in the image of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. And because of that, you have value, you have worth, you are a soul for whom Christ died. Amen. And when we look at where Christianity has been, everywhere that it's gone, it has always helped. Men begin to love their wives, come home and stay and provide for their families. The standard for women has gone up. People say, oh, Christianity was horrible for women. Have you not cracked a book about what happened to women in the world before Christianity came in? It was a wonderful thing whenever under Judaism, a man had to give his wife a bill of divorcement. Say, why was that a good thing? Because all he had to do was say, you burnt the biscuits. I divorce thee, I divorce thee, I divorce thee. And she don't have anywhere to go. She don't have a house to live in. She's gone. She has no standard for living. She has no place to live. She's kicked out of the house. But with Christianity, we're told husbands love your wives. That is not an option. It is a command. Whether you feel like she deserves it or not, you got to love your wife. Amen. Amen. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own. Well, there's that submission again, and you're just putting women in slavery. We're not putting women in slavery. No. Listen, if Christ died for me, it ought to be the great joy of my life to be His servant. His doulos, as it is in the Greek, His slave. I have no problem with that. I have no problem submitting myself to the one who died for me. Amen. That's right, I have no problem with that. May I say to you that everywhere we look where Christianity has touched, the society has gotten better. So please do not buy into this whole shenanigan that Christianity lowers the value of women, lowers the value of children, makes men... in a completely patriarchal society where they make all the decisions and no woman is going to have her say, listen to me. Anybody who believes that has obviously, number one, never read the Bible. They've read somebody who's bought into a bad bill of goods, and they believe that every person they meet is just like the one or two hypocrites that they've run into. Amen. Read the Bible for yourself. I'm not the Pope. I'm not the blessed and only potentate. the vicar of Christ. That's not me. There is no vicar of Christ on this earth. There is nobody who is in His place. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No man needs to go before God on your behalf. You can go right into the throne room by the blood of the Lamb on your own behalf. Amen. What we see in our in the text we've read is just the downward spiral of mankind, not from the standpoint of like Romans 1 where we look back, but we're actually looking ahead, and Paul's prophesying what's going to happen. And he talks about not only the downward spiral of society, but he even talks about false prophets. Look in verse number 8. He speaks about Jannes and Jambres. They withstood Moses. They were magicians, not recorded anywhere in the book of Exodus. They are recorded, their names are recorded for us here in 2 Timothy. But you remember how Moses would throw his rod down and the Egyptians would do the same, and then Moses' rod would eat the other rod. There were things, excuse me, that those magicians would repeat. They withstood Moses because they did not want Moses' message heard by Pharaoh. Anywhere God's man has come in and preached the truth, rest assured, there's always a false prophet out there to try to correct what the preacher said. So listen to me. I have said, based on what we've looked at here, that even though bad times are coming, we've took a historical look, if you will, at where Christianity has brought the Western world. You go home this week, and I'm not telling you to turn on the news because you're going to hear it some way, but you're going to hear somebody who's going to attempt to correct what I just said. I want to challenge you to read the Bible for yourself. I want to challenge you to understand history for yourself. Do not let these people talk you out of our heritage and out of what the Bible has taught us and the truth that you and I know in Christ Jesus. So, there are false prophets who come on, and the Bible tells us that the folly of those false prophets will actually be revealed. And so, as we look down through time, here's what's happening in the last days. Yes, the gospel's going to go out. Christianity's going to go into places. Lives will be changed. But Paul is talking to a young preacher, telling him that everything is not to be looked at through rose-colored glasses. There is a reality. Everywhere the gospel has a victory and a triumph, these truths still hold fast, because we're still dealing with sinful men who make decisions apart from the grace of God. As we look at that text and we see what's happening and realize what's going on, Paul says this, verse 10, "You fully know my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, all the persecutions that came unto me, but God delivered me out of every single one of them." And then he says, hey, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus," watch this, "shall suffer persecution." I said, "Why, good night. We go from perilous times to persecution. Sign me up." Think about that just for a minute. Why in the world would a person be willing to have joy in perilous times that are upcoming, knowing that persecution is on the horizon? It's because they realize the love of God in Christ Jesus. That God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. And they have chosen that good part. They have chosen the reproach of Christ and esteemed it greater riches than the treasures of this world. They have chosen that then to enjoy the pleasures of sin down here for a season. And here's what people have done. They are willing to endure the persecution, willing to go through those perilous times and endure that persecution because they know their sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And the only thing the people in this world can do is kill this body. But as soon as this body has died, the spirit goes back to God that gave it, and that soul that has been birthed into the family of God reaches up, goes into the very presence of God, because the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no soul sleep. You're not going to stay in the grave for 1,000 years. The Seventh-day Adventists have it all wrong. They do not understand the Scriptures. They confuse what happens to those animals not made in the image of God in the book of Ecclesiastes with those of us, human beings, who have been made in the image of God. And because of that, they teach that you're going to sleep in the grave. Friend, Paul was very plain. To be absent from the body, soon as you close your eyes in death, you are ushered as a child of God into the very presence of God Himself. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching. It's Bible preaching. Amen. That's good. Amen. But here's the thing that I want us to look at tonight. Perilous times are going to come. Persecution is coming our way. What in the world should our attitude be? Persecution, perilous times, preacher, what do we do? Look at verse number 14. Verse 13 says, but evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceived and be deceived. The false prophets are going to get worse and worse. What do we do? Look at verse number 14. But continue. But continue. Perilous times are coming. False prophets are there. Persecution is coming our way. Here's what we need to do. Children, what do? We press on. Amen. We press on. But continue thou, watch this, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That word continue is an interesting word because it goes back to what we studied in Sunday school this morning. We hear from people who believe in a work salvation or believe in works in certain times that God deals with men. They take that verse in Matthew 24, verse number 13. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And they'll say, there's a work salvation. There it is. And if you don't work for it, you're not going to have salvation. If you quit working, you're going to lose it. Well, we looked at Sunday school this morning and we discussed and we've come to the conclusion, nowhere at any time does God ever save any man or woman by any work that they have ever done. Salvation has always been by grace. It's always been God doing the work. It has always been by faith. Somebody has believed the message that God has said. And I'll go ahead and throw this out here. There has all only been salvation because a substitute has shed its blood on behalf of somebody else. Amen. There is no work salvation at all. So here's what I want us to see. The Bible says, continue in the things thou hast learned. What's the evidence of salvation? We look this morning and we see where Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, said, by which you're saved, wherein you stand. He said, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. What do you mean by if I keep in memory? He says in Colossians 1, around verse number 27, if you be not moved away from the faith of the, you know, faith grounded and settled. What does that if mean? Does that mean that my salvation is conditional? No, it doesn't mean that. No, the book of Hebrews tells us that beware lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now I want you to listen to me. Continuance in the things of God, continuing in the things of God is evidence of a genuine Christian profession. Do you know why people make a profession when they're little children? They get out of church and they never come back. They have no use for God, no use in darkening the door, couldn't care less about God. You talk to them till you're blue in the face. They're not interested in what you have to hear. You know why? Do you know why they don't come back? It's because they have no one living inside of them telling them to come back to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Here's what happens in many of those cases. They make a profession of faith when they're young children. They get out of church. They get into sin. They just make all kinds of bad decisions. They're not interested in coming back to church at all. And then one day, God in His matchless grace, sends the gospel their way. They hear the preaching. They realize that Christ died for them. They come to Jesus. They repent of their sin. And God bursts them into the family of God. Guess what happens? They have no problem coming to church. They are not interested in that old life anymore. They want to be in the house of God. They want to be where God's people are at because they have finally passed from death unto life. John tells us in 1 John chapter number 2, they went out from us because they were not of us. The reason people leave the church and never come back is because they never were saved to start with. The Bible tells us if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. God whips His youngins. God whips His youngins. You know one of the best ways, if I could say it that way, one of the worst ways that God will chastise one of His children? God, as far as that child, as far as one of His children goes, He will go into a room and God will shut the door and not speak. One of the most miserable times that a child of God will ever have is when God does not speak. Listen to me. I'm not talking about an audible voice. You won't hear an audible voice. You're spending too much time eating Mozzies late at night. Amen. Amen. God don't speak in no audible voice. I don't care what T.D. Jakes said and the rest of those charlatans said. Listen to me. God doesn't speak in an audible voice. God speaks through His Word. God speaks and moves as, let's say the ladies are up here singing, brother already singing, the Spirit of God begins to move. And as the Spirit of God begins to move, there's somebody on the inside bearing witness that what they're singing about is true. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's whenever them ladies down south, they'd get them white hankies out. And they start that right there. When them white hankies come out, look out. It's about to get on. Amen. And when they jump up and shout, look out. Amen. Right. I like it. Amen. But have you ever been in a church service before the ladies have sung? Somebody else has gotten up, Brother Artie. Somebody has gotten up and sung, and you can see that everybody around you is rejoicing. Hands are going up. Handkerchiefs are coming out. Hands are wiping the eyes. And God is beginning to move and to bless and to help. And then you begin to stop and think about yourself. Does that not bother you? You don't have to act like me. You don't have to shout like a Comanche Indian. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to shout like that. But it's biblical to shout. I believe Psalm 134 and verse number 2 says something along the line of, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I think that's what that says. Correct me if I'm wrong. That means it's biblical to lift your hands and bless the Lord. I may not feel saved all the time. I may not feel like I can feel God. But brother, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There's sometimes we just need to lift up our hands and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. I may not feel like it, and it may not do much, but I'm going to tell you, the Bible inhabits the praises of His people. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in the heart of the Lord. You begin to sing the songs of Zion, and all of a sudden somebody from another world moves in and begins to let you know that He's around. And brother, when He begins to move in, He begins to let you know that you're around. Some business is about to pick up, and you're going to begin to feel like God is there. Oh, yeah. But it's awfully sad when God's moving on everybody else, Brother Eric, ain't no tears coming out of their eyes. Their hands ain't going up. I know, look, listen to me. Some folks are a AA battery. Some folks are wired 110, some folks are wired 220. We ain't all wired the same. Some folks are one of them, you know, that's how we test batteries when I was a kid. Take that 9-volt, stick it on your tongue. Amen. For some reason, my girls don't want to do that. I don't know why in the world that is. I don't get it. We're all not wired the same. You're not going to have to shout. You don't have to be a hillbilly from Tennessee and shout. It's been a long time since I've walked across pew tops. I just don't do that no more because my ankles are getting a lot weaker. I just don't do that. But I want to just simply say this, that continuance in the things of God is evidence of a Christian life. If you have no desire for God, no desire to meet with God's people, listen to me, 1 John 3:14, hereby we know, you mark that word know down, over 30 times in 1 John the word know shows up in some form or other. You mark it down, listen to me. Hereby we know we have passed from death unto life. Listen, because we love the brethren. When a Christian says, I do not love that person, that brother in Christ, I can't stand him. 1 John 2 says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. Listen to me. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. If you have hatred toward a brother, look at me and you God-given eyeball, you're lost on your way to hell.
Right.
That's what the Bible says. Amen. Right. Continuance in the things of God. Continuance in the things of God is evidence of salvation. Say, preacher, I have to work every Sunday. That does happen for some folks. Some folks have to work on Sunday. I've been there before and it's not been fun. And I begged, swapped, did everything that I could to arrange my schedule to where I was in church on Sundays. And as I would, and Lord help, I didn't mean to break the speed limits, but I broke the speed limits. I broke the law of man to get back to the house of God on Wednesday night to get a little bit out of the service on Wednesday evenings when I had to work then. I'm very concerned when people do not have, and you don't have to have it like I did. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you this, do you love the brethren? Do you want to be in church? Preacher, I'd rather be anywhere else is here. You're probably not saved. I love to hunt and fish. But I'm not going to be on the lake or in the woods on a Sunday. I don't even go between services. And well, number one, now I don't have a place to go between services. Where I was raised at, my wife will tell you, I just walked out the back door. I couldn't see another human being. It was a blessing. Walk out in the middle of the woods and just keep walking. Sling that Stevens 22 over my shoulder and just walk all over the place. Me and that old boy, we had a fun time in the woods. And I got to the point where I wouldn't even go out between services, shoot anything, just because I didn't want to take the Lord's day and turn it into a play day for me. I know sometimes the ox gets in the ditch and you've got to do stuff. I understand things happen. Pipes break, lights go out, car trouble happen. I get all that. The Lord understands that. He sees all that coming. But what do we do in a time of persecution? Things get bad. Things get hot outside. We can't do anything. What do? We continue in the things which thou hast learned. We continue in the things of God. And I want to give you this, just these last couple of verses, and I'm going to finish up tonight. He says in verse number 15, let me read verse 14 again. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, watch this, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So who you learn them from is important. And that from a child. Mom, listen to me. Listen to me, Mom. Listen to me. I ain't talking to Dad right now. I'm talking to Mom. You ready? So fellas, this don't concern you. Mom, I want you to listen to me. And that from a child, Timothy, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You said, preacher, why in the world did you single out the ladies? Go back to chapter 1, look in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice or Eunice, and I am also persuaded that in thee also. Daddy does a lot. He leads the home. But Mama, listen to me. Listen to me, Mom. The faith that you have could be the very faith that the next preacher, whether it's in our church or a preacher in this generation who's raised up, can go out and bring some lost sinner to faith in Christ. What a blessing that is. Think about these children. And I want to tell you, all you young ladies here, y'all, some of y'all aren't married yet. Some of y'all won't get married because I'm going to shoot the first boy that comes along. Amen. Amen. Right. Death from afar. That's right. 300 yards out, 300 yards out. Don't even give them a chance to come in the front yard. Amen. Right. Amen. But when the time comes, your faith that you have now can be passed along to your children and to their children. Lois's faith was passed to her grandson, but it didn't skip her daughter. Pass that faith along. Grandparents, parents, pass it along. Sarah, keep testifying. Keep raising your hand. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Amen. Keep doing it. I've already told you, my wife ever shouts, I'll fall over dead of a heart attack. I'd expect it more from one of my kids, one of my children, than I would her. But you keep doing it. You keep testifying. And look at me. It doesn't need to be anybody have word on your heart. I don't think I asked Dixie to testify tonight. I didn't ask, and she just interrupted the whole service, just blurted out a testimony. Oh my word, what in the world? What is this coming to? She just blurted, didn't even ask pastoral permission. Well, she didn't need pastoral permission because the Spirit of God already gave it to her by the Word to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Hey man, that's right. We ain't going to be like that preacher down south, but we don't let the ladies testify here. Well, that's all right, good. We won't be coming back. I won't come back. We ain't darkening your church door again, sir. That's right. No, we're going to go where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Apparently there's bondage in your church. Tells me the Spirit of God just might not be there. Amen. That's not even in my notes. That was all free. Amen. Keep testifying. Keep preaching. Keep doing what you're doing for the Lord. Continue in the things which thou hast learned. That verse number 14 is going to be one of our two verses as kind of the theme for our jubilee. And so I want you to listen to me. Miss Dixie texted me sometime back, asked me what the verses were for Jubilee. And the verses that the Lord impressed upon my heart was verse number 14, to continue the things thou hast learned. And then the verse in Jude, is it Jude 3, I think it is. Then when I gave, when he wanted to write of the common salvation, he said it was more needful to write to you that you earnestly contend for the faith. And something along the line of let's continue to contend. Because I want to be an encouragement to us in these days. Brother, it's cracking down. You look at me. Hello, Facebook. I'm saying it. All right, you ready? Y'all are a bunch of extremists. Y'all are a bunch of extremists. You know why? You think for yourselves. I don't do your thinking for you. I don't. Y'all don't get all of your news from the mainstream media. You look like kind of thing. You look like you have opinions that kind of go against the flow. And things that are dead tend to float downstream, but the last time I looked them salmon, they go upstream because they're alive. You think for yourself. Y'all are a bunch of extremists. Oh, I'm sorry. We are a bunch of extremists. All of us are. And I said all that to say this, that the time's going to come where we're going to say perilous times are worse than they've been. The persecution is terrible. The false prophets are out there. What do? We press on. We continue to contend. If you're here tonight and you've truly been born again by the grace of God, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Right. Who is it tells you to testify? Well, it ain't the devil. Right. Here's the devil. Oh, here, brag on Jesus. Brag on Jesus. Show me one verse where the devil ever said brag on Jesus. Good night. Devil don't cause people to brag on Jesus. That's the Spirit of God. No man speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Let's encourage one another in these days. Continue to contend. And so when Miss Dixie said, what are those verses? And I gave her the verses. Here's what she texted back. Those are the same verses that the Lord impressed on her heart. Well, either she missed it and I missed it, or the Lord's doing something. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't even talk about that. It's just like, wow. You'd almost think there's a God in heaven, because she's the one who puts together the little bookmarks that we hand out. So it's kind of nice to know what they are. So, yeah. So continue to contend. So this week, going to have a lot of challenges, whether it's neighbors, work folks, whatever. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Continue in the things that you've learned. Continue in the Word of God. There are some questions that you've got that come up at the workplace that are hard. We'll deal with some of those. I mean, the Lord's impressed upon my heart a lot of stuff along that line, to where we want to get to where we're able to answer the questions in the trenches, on the streets, across the fence rows. You know, it's one thing to have a lot of intellectual stuff that we have and we talk about, but unless you can put it into shoe leather and use it in a conversation, not to win an argument, but to try to win somebody to Christ, there's no need in studying that. And so we want to be as much help as possible. Amen. So, all right. Amen. I need to bring me one of them white handkerchiefs and get them white handkerchiefs out. Amen. All right. Well, I'm finished. I really am. Turkeys are done. People are finished.